Shall we just open in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will take control, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word, that you will encourage us and challenge us to walk close to you and to serve you and to work hard for you every day of our lives. And so, Father, we pray that you'll hide me behind the cross and just speak through your word, that Jesus will be glorified, we pray in his precious name. Amen. The story is told of a mouse and an elephant, and I told you that story last week. And that story serves to illustrate the fact that we need to trust the Lord for his strength and power. We can't do anything without him. I did mention that story last week, right? Yeah. So the mouse was along for the ride. And sometimes in our lives, that's what we are. We're along for the ride. It's the Lord doing the work through us as we trust in him, and he gets all the glory for it, because in us and of ourselves, we cannot do anything. And sometimes life is very difficult. From the time we get up in the morning, we toil, we work, we go through our jobs or our school, our studies, whatever it happens to be, or if you're retired, there's still work to be done. And if you're home with the kids, that's a lot of work. And I praise God for the mothers who do that. So life is hard. Someone once said, a farmer once said, the hardest thing about milking cows is they never stay milked. The farmer has to milk the cows every day. They have to plow the fields every day. They have to get up early in the morning and work. And we do the same in life. And it's hard. Life is hard because it's filled with all kinds of difficult circumstances that we have, challenges that we have in our life. And we need to trust the Lord for it. So many times we say, and it's rightfully true, that I get tired in the work of the Lord, but I don't get tired of the work of the Lord, because it's a joy to serve Jesus. And the more I serve him, the more thankful I am. A couple of weeks ago, we had Rick Punzo's message on our self-evaluations, performance reviews. This is kind of going to dovetail a little bit on this today, because the title of my message is Toiling for the Master. You know, the word toil is defined as exhausting physical labor, working extremely hard or incessantly. Sometimes we feel that we're toiling. But when you're toiling for something you enjoy doing, it's your passion. It's not hard at all. You know, sometimes kids, they learn to play the piano or the violin or some other instrument, and at the beginning, they don't want to practice. They don't want to work on it. But the parents, they push them again. But they get to a point where the child, they have to determine whether they're going to continue in that musical field. I thank God that Christiana, she started when she was a little girl, right? And she has a passion for the piano. And she has a passion for music. Whenever you have a passion for, whether it's running, playing tennis, golf, whatever it is, when you do it, it doesn't seem that hard. And when we serve the Lord, it's a toil that's a good kind of toil, a good kind of service, a good kind of hard work. The three things that we're going to look at today is, number one, when we toil for the Lord, we need to do it with dedication. Secondly, when we toil for the Lord, we need to do it with determination. And third, when we serve the Lord and toil for him, we need to do it with delight. With delight. And may the Lord encourage us from his word today. You know, the Apostle Paul, from the moment he got saved, he worked so hard for the Lord all through his life. And when he got to the end of his life, he could say, I fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. And he honored the Master all the way through. I was so excited yesterday when I came to the church and I saw all the people working together in harmony in unity, and they put all their efforts together. And there were men and women and boys and girls, like I said, they were all working, and they worked so hard on the church, upstairs, downstairs, outside. It was tremendous effort, and that's the way it should be for all of us as Christians. We should all be in the game, as it were, all working and serving the Lord. There should be no pew sitters. There should be no bench warmers. We should all be giving our all to the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first point today that we'll look at is our dedication. I don't think you could find another person in the Bible that was as dedicated and committed to the Lord as the Apostle Paul. I know a lot of us say, Paul is my hero. I know Bill says that a lot. It's so true. And can't wait to meet him in heaven. Can you imagine? And I think when we meet him, we're not going to be impressed by his physical, how tall he was or strong he was, but we're going to be impressed with that commitment, with that joy that he had, that he served the Lord. And it says in Acts chapter 20 and verses 34 to 35, this is what it said. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Yesterday I saw a lot of giving. People were doing it with all their hearts. They were serving. And that's the way it should be with us. One day there's a story told of a man named Bernardo Di Giovanni. It's a name that some in the art world would be hard-pressed even to know because he's not famous like many others. He was the pupil of Donatello, the greatest sculptor of all times, and he was the teacher of Michelangelo, the greatest sculptor of all time. And Michelangelo was only 14 years old when he came to Bernardo and told him that it was already, and he could see that it was already obvious to him that Michelangelo was enormously talented. And Bernardo was wise enough to realize that gifted people are often tempted to coast rather than to grow. And that's what he was afraid could happen to Michelangelo. And one day he came into the studio and he found Michelangelo toying with a piece of sculpture far beneath his abilities. And Bertoldo grabbed a hammer, stomped across the room, and smashed the work into tiny pieces, shouting this unforgettable message, Michelangelo, your talent is cheap, dedication is costly. If you want to be good at anything, you've got to be dedicated to it. You really do. You can't go halfway. You can't coast. You can't take it easy. You have to give your all, especially in the Lord's service. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, this is really Paul's resume of what he went through for the Lord. How many of us would be willing to go through what Paul went through? He says, are they all Hebrews? So am I. Are they all Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And here's where he starts. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. Wow. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my countrymen, of perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, and there's that word toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings and cold, and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my daily concern for all the churches. May God bless the portion to our hearts. How many of us would be willing to go through what Paul did? I mean, he went through the extremities of it, but he was willing to do it. And he loved the Lord so much that he never gave up. He continued with dedication to serving the Lord each and every day. A man named John Ruskin once said, "The highest reward for man's toil is not what he gets, but what he becomes by it." It's not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. We become servants of Christ and we give our all to the Lord, and there's no regrets, no turning back, and it's the best life you can possibly have because he died for us. He died to save us. He loves us, and I can't wait till we get to heaven, and he will reward each of us for what we do for him. So that's our first point today, dedication. And we all need to be dedicated, but not only dedicated to the Lord, to be determined. Now, since I've been retired, I've been doing this mental training as well as reading the scriptures and doing things, and it's been really a blessing. And I've been learning new words. They say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Well, I'm an old dog and I'm trying to learn some new tricks. Well, I came up with a new word, and I told our brother Andrew about it a couple of weeks ago. It's a very tough word. It's a hard word to pronounce. It's a long word, but it's got such great meaning to it. And the word is indefatigable. Now, say that 10 times fast. Indefatigable. In fact, the other day when I was driving home from church, I said it 10 times fast. To really learn how to pronounce it, because I wasn't pronouncing it quite right. The word indefatigable has a tremendous meaning. It refers to someone who possesses boundless energy and determination, never giving up despite challenges or obstacles. Isn't that a wonderful definition? So don't you want to be indefatigable? That's what we should be for the Lord, indefatigable. We shouldn't let things stop us. We shouldn't let hindrances, obstacles, enemies, or anything stop us from our service for the Lord. And I can remember the story of Gideon and his army that started off with 32,000, was whittled down to 10,000, and then finally to 300, all by the Lord. And he told them how to whittle it down, and it was. And in Judges, they went out in chapter 6 and then in 7, they went out and got the victory over the Midianites. And it says in Judges chapter 8 and verse 4 about this, it says, "When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted yet still in pursuit." And the NASB says, "weary yet pursuing." Don't you feel that way sometimes in life? You're weary, but you're still pursuing. You haven't given up. You have determination to finish the job, to finish the work, to finish the ministry that the Lord has given to you. And that's what he does. And he wants us to have that kind of determination. I'm not going to quit. The world tells you, give it up. It's not going to work. It's not worth it. You're putting yourself through all this hard work and strain, and why are you doing it? For us as Christians, we simply say, because Jesus loved me, and he died on the cross for me, and he's given me the gift of eternal life. How can I not but serve him every single day, from the moment I get up in the morning to the time I go to bed at night? To serve the Lord, to give our fullest effort, to work hard for him. In Acts 11:29, it says, "The disciples, each one according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea." Now, we know that the Christians in Judea were poor and they were suffering, and there were other Christians who supported them, and they were determined to get those funds to them to help them. And we need that kind of bulldog determination in our life. If you've ever seen a bulldog, the way they work is they will latch on their jaws on something. And once they've got their jaws on something, they will not let go. We should have that as Christians, that bulldog mentality. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to determine to serve the Lord. Paul Harvey, the famous journalist and radio commentator of old, revealed the secret of his success. He says, I get up when I fall down. Many of us fall down, don't we, every day? Every day we'll have some situation where we fall down. But the Lord says, don't stay down. Get up. Be determined to get back in to the fight, back into the game. But we have to ask ourselves, what do we do when we fall down? Do we stay down? You know, in boxing, if you get knocked down, you have a 10 count to get back up. The referee, 1, 2, all the way till they get to 10, and if you're not up by that time, you're not getting up, and you're considered knocked out. It's a knockout. And we as Christians should never get to that point. We may take a standing 8 count, which is what they do when they get hurt but not knocked down, and we want to have that kind of commitment to the Lord. Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those are great words there, to be steadfast. When you're steadfast for the Lord, you're solid. You're in it. You're committed to it. When you're immovable, you can't be moved by whatever winds come by, no matter how strong they are. And we're always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the Lord says, I will reward you. And he wants us to serve him each and every day. I came across an anonymous writing here. I'm not sure who wrote it. It's anonymous. But it is really encouraging about pressing on. It says, press on. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts, he said. Persistence and determination are alone important. This year is the Olympics coming up in the summer in Paris. And we're going to see some of the finest athletes in the world competing in all these different summer sports. And I remember watching it one year where there was a runner who was running and he fell down. And all the other runners passed him up. He got up limping around that 400-meter track, and he was limping all the way through until he finished the race. Sometimes we may feel like we're going to limp through, but we're going to get there. We're going to achieve the goal with the Lord's help. I recently was thinking about John F. Kennedy, and one of the things he said is so true. Like, we went to the moon back under his administration. And he said this before they went to the moon. We choose to go to the moon and do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. He had a great determination. And now, where are we going? We're going to go back to the moon again. And it's amazing. We should never say never. We should never say, I can't do it, because the Lord will enable us to do it. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said in 1 Thessalonians 2:9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. I've often thought about Paul and how he served the Lord full time and yet took time to make tents He was a tent maker, and he used the funds for it to support himself and the brothers who were serving with him. So he did all that work. Can you imagine? Night and day working for the Lord and carrying on a secular job as well. He could have let the saints support him, but he didn't. He supported them. Amazing. Yes, we should do the same thing. And then as we come to our third point this morning, we serve him with dedication, we serve him with determination, and we serve him with delight. I remember when Steph Curry first came to the Warriors, the thing that stood out about him was not his great shooting, was not his leadership or teamwork or any of these things, although he had all of those. He was very skilled and was doing great. The thing that stood out was he played with joy. When you play with joy, it makes all the difference. You see, some athletes, they're in it for the money, or they're in it to win, but they don't have the joy. You look at them and they're not happy. You don't see the smile. You don't see the joy. And then you look at some of the others and you see a big smile on their face. I really have been enjoying watching this lady, Caitlin Clark, the basketball player. She set the all-time record for the most points scored in Division I college history, men or women. And she's going to be into the WNBA. She was drafted number one. She plays the game with joy. And that's the way we should serve the Lord, too. We should serve him with joy, with delight. It should make us happy because we're getting the privilege of serving the Lord. The last part of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 says, it says at the end, "Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." I have a little plaque at home up on my wall. I have a lot of them at home, but this is a really good one. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." There's a song, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." And when we go out to serve the Lord, it is because of what he's done for us and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't have the joy and we're just going through the motions, people can tell. Our kids can tell. Our people that see us can tell. And we should have that joy because it's contagious and we can spread it to others. There was a famous man by the name of Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. He was a member of the U.S. Supreme Court for 30 years. Imagine that. His mind, wit, and work earned him the unofficial title of, quote, "the greatest justice since John Marshall," unquote. At one point in his life, Justice Holmes explained his choice of career by saying, "I might have entered the seminary if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." Oh, is that a rebuke or what to us as Christians? We should not go around melancholy. We shouldn't go around with a frown on our face like it's torture. We should have that joy. The joy of the Lord should be our strength. We should rejoice in the Lord always, and we should serve him with that kind of joy. That is what will touch people's life, the joy and the love that we have in Christ. It will make a big difference. And as someone once said, lemonade is only good when you add a little sugar to it. And that little sugar is the joy that we need to have. Can you imagine having lemonade without any sugar in it? Ooh, that's pretty bitter. But when you have the sugar, it's great. So may the Lord encourage us to serve him, to work for him, to toil for him every day with dedication, with determination, and with delight. May the Lord help us to be so dedicated to him that we give him our all every single day, that we'll be indefatigable, that we'll work with boundless energy, determination, never giving up despite the challenges or obstacles. Sometimes the challenges and obstacles look so insurmountable, we don't even want to start. We just say, I don't even want to try. I don't want, that's not the way it should be. We should give our all to finish the course. And let us toil for the Lord with determination as well as dedication. And may our attitude be good. May we have the great delight in the Lord. You know, our attitude determines our gratitude. And when we have an attitude of thanksgiving, it makes serving the Lord such a blessing. The finish line is approaching. The goal is in sight. Jesus is coming today or tonight. So may the Lord serve, may we serve the Lord. Jesus said, are there not 12 hours in a day? Work while it's day, for the night is coming when no one can work. Shall we just close in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the challenge of your word. Help us to work hard for you. Help us to do it with dedication, determination, and especially delight. Lord, we love you so much. We want to do more for you. We want to serve you more. We want to help more. We want to give more. We want to be those who lay it all out on the line. And we just pray, Father, that you will take us home safely today. We pray for those who are not feeling well, and we pray for those in the hospital, and we pray that you'll bring each one back to us safe and sound. And Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.